Good afternoon.
Good evening, Jane.
Here we are in Queenstown with the lovely Dear. Do you want to tell us who you are?
I'm Scott Kennedy.
Joe Cowie.
Derek Smith.
Derek Scott, the deep voice.
One man.
So you want to explain to me, this is Dear. Now, Scott Kennedy, you're in 14 bands. Joe Cowie's in 17, and Derek's in about 26. So do you want to talk to me about how this happened?
How did this happen? This Dear started about, if we go back to like the very genesis of it all, probably about a year ago.
Yeah.
Where Joe and I would find like our free hour in the year. And we would jam every now and again, playing some different type of music, and we sort of thought, oh, we should do this. We should, you know, pursue it a bit more. But it always got pushed to the back burner. And then we started talking about it again, saying, oh, we should do it again, and why don't we get Derek involved? And when Derek sort of came along, everything gelled really quickly.
Yeah.
And accelerated quite quickly after that.
And Vicificator is covers.
Yep. Yep.
And you wanted to keep that, but move away from it with this.
Yeah,
and just see what happened.
Yeah, I'd say I love playing cover music, but I also love playing very different type of music, which I guess this Dear sort of falls into, which is, I'll let you describe what it is.
Okay, dark, deep.
Like what?
Like
music.
Like dark chocolate.
That was actually the original name of the band.
With a slightly... I just asked you if you knew if you'd seen the film Suspiria.
Right.
You should watch it. It's have you seen it? 1970s horror movie, which it really reminded me of in a really good way, but it's a really creepy film, but it's amazing. Really amazing. The name, you're going to be asked that. Where did that come from?
Scott Kennedy.
Yep, take it.
Scott Kennedy. Okay, I was just, I love it when words can sound the same but mean different things and spelled in different ways, and just the two words Dear together was a really interesting combination, and just, you know, it can mean whatever people want it to mean. It can be, you know, a love letter to someone or something else, or just a, you know, a deer.
Yeah, and alongside all that is also the artwork that goes with it, which is just stunningly beautiful. I'm not saying that because you're a friend of mine, but it is beautiful. And I know that with Vicificator you do all the artwork for them, but you wanted to create more and keep going with this? Or?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, the artwork for this band is definitely really collaborative, because there's a really strong visual element to what we do. Like, there's the music we play, I think it answers or asks a lot of questions that we don't necessarily provide the answers for. And then when we play live, we have sort of video behind us that also asks questions that doesn't really provide answers for. And I think sometimes when those things work together, they answer the questions.
Yeah.
So I think there's always been a really strong visual element to this band. And, you know, we've all had a hand in that visual side of things.
And the type of music, boys, I'm going to look at you two now.
Yes.
So being quiet in the corner. Tell us about a little bit about where that comes from. So the sound.
The sound. I don't know.
Is it a very organic thing?
Do you definitely, just... yeah. I mean, like, you know, someone comes to the table with, you know, some sort of idea or another, and we just run with it. And, you know, there's a basic, we know, like, the direction that the song is going.
Yeah.
And but then it's just kind of subject to, you know, the room and the mood and stuff, and, yeah. I don't know.
You just see what happens.
Pretty much. And, you know, our distinct voices, we just, you know, we're just singing together, I guess.
Mm. Yeah. And Queenstown music as a whole... Silence. Mm-hmm. Talk about that. What's going on in Queenstown?
I think Joe should talk about that. Because Joe's involved in every other band.
You know, it's a really interesting place because you're a resort town, so you got people out every night. So, you know, there's places to play music every night.
Mm-hmm.
but the people that are out aren't necessarily out for music. So while you get the opportunity to play a lot, there's not necessarily a lot of outlets to do really creative stuff to an appreciative audience.
Yeah.
But, you know, having Sherwood come along is kind of...
Yeah, I was just going to talk about that.
You know, that's not a business model that's really worked in Queenstown before.
Yeah.
So it's really cool to be able to kind of have the best of both worlds, you know. Being able to easily get a gig as a musician and play a lot, and being able to play somewhere where you can, you know, find an audience that actually wants to hear some music.
Because how does that work? So are you known for being musicians, or do you have to go in front of somebody who owns a bar and say, can we play? And they say, well, what is it you've got? Or are you known already, so people, do people trust you enough to just give you a gig?
It's a bit of both.
Yeah.
Like who you know and what you do.
Yeah. I think like with this band, with Dear Dear, we the guys at the Sherwood sort of heard what we were up to. They hadn't heard anything we'd done, and we kind of described to them what we were doing, and they said, oh, well, that sounds really interesting and really different. Do you want to come and play here?
Yeah.
Which was really, really special for us, because they put a lot of faith in us, and it's also you know, the best way to get stuff done is to have a deadline. So this project that is sort of on this someday shelf all of a sudden came to the very front back burner of like, right, we're gonna do this in front of a bunch of people. We better figure some stuff out.
And the fact that you're we better work out what we're doing before we do anything. The fact that you're all from different places. Are you Canadian as well, Derek?
Nearly. I'm from the States. Nearly. But just
it's an honorary.
So how does that work in this? You're a true Kiwi, Joe. Remember, people can't see what I'm
pretty much the most Kiwi person in
New Zealand. How does that affect the music? Because I know you've, Scott, you've been here for
15 years.
And Joe, in Queenstown?
15 combined.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Derek?
Shy of a year.
Woo!
Ooh.
So that'll have... You've not been saturated by this country as much as, say, Scott has. Do you think?
Yeah. I don't. As far as I've seen, like Queenstown is, it's kind of a different story as compared to, I mean, the rest of New Zealand. And I'm pretty fresh here.
Yeah,
But I mean, I've been busy with music for a while, and so it's.
Okay. And New Zealand music as a whole, opinions, honest opinions.
I think the New Zealand music scene is really interesting because it's because we're, especially here in Queenstown, we're at the far end of the farthest country from anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
So we have absolutely nothing to lose. There's no pressure to do anything. If we were doing a band like this in San Francisco or New York or Vancouver or Tokyo or Melbourne or whatever, there would be this like big scene all around it, but here because there isn't that, it's super supportive, and if you're doing something really different, it's great. It's you know, it's a fantastic scene, and I think that carries all the way through New Zealand. Everywhere you go, is people are really supportive and unafraid to take chances.
So do you Joe, think that New Zealand music holds its own in the world?
Oh, absolutely.
On a world stage? Because I asked a lot of people this, and a lot of people come back with the whole thing about, well, why do we consider something New Zealand music when we don't necessarily always do that for other countries? Does that make sense? We're constantly harping on about a New Zealand music thing, rather than we don't constantly bang on about the fact that somebody's from the UK always. Often they're just held as a single entity. You're looking confused.
Continue.
Sounds quite confusing, but I think for me, looking at it, there's this constant thing about New Zealand music being something I'm trying to find the words to explain it.
Distinct.
Nearly 10 o'clock at night. Yeah, very distinct. Mm. And often, if I ask somebody who doesn't necessarily know New Zealand music, a lot of people say, oh, it's just this, or it's just that. Whereas if you people who aren't, yep. who don't know the country
yep.
will say that, whereas we know that there's a massive range of...
Mm.
Why do you think that is?
Do you know why? Christmas.
Don't know.
I think I know what you mean. I think it's like... It's hard to categorize all of New Zealand's music into one thing.
Yeah.
I think of a place that's probably pretty similar to New Zealand on the opposite side of the world, which is a place like Iceland. And in Iceland, yes. all we know about Iceland is
Björk.
Is Björk and Sigur Rós. Yeah. Sigur Rós. And it's like,
yeah.
we just assume that that's Icelandic
it.
Music.
Yeah.
So I think there's people in Iceland who are going, oh, well, New Zealand music is Lord. And my parents listen to Crowded House, so maybe they used to do that. But I think, you know, we're like anywhere in the world, there's a really diverse scene. And I think when you have things like the internet now, which sort of means that there's an open forum to hear whatever you want to hear, you know, you could go and find, you know, blues or folk or whatever from Iceland in the same way that you can find,
yeah.
you know, ambient electronica and whatever in New Zealand.
That was a rather confused question, but it is nearly 10
yeah.
o'clock and I don't stay up this late.
Me either.
So I'm quite tired. That's why I'm not in a band, because I couldn't hack it. Dream support act for who? Scott.
Dream support... Radiohead.
Okay. Joe?
Oh, that's a good one. For us to support.
Yeah. Dead or alive, baby.
Ooh. Come back to me.
Okay. Derek?
I just had one.
It is late.
This is brutal.
It is late. Come on. Late on the table.
Well, God.
Sonic Youth.
Sonic Youth.
Ooh. That'd be good. That'd be a good game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Derek? You've got 2 seconds. One.
You're running out of good things.
Two.
Yeah, no. I don't feel like I have a real tasteful, answer for this.
You can unleash your darkest secrets like Justin Timberlake if you want to.
That'd be an interesting clash, wouldn't it? I'm just going to roll with the Dresden Dolls. I don't know. Just because I think they'd be really fun to hang out with backstage.
Nice.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
That would be fun. Type of music that you should think needs to come back.
Needs to come back.
You know, it could be Baroque. It could be.
It needs to come back. I'm gonna
dubstep.
Dubstep.
It's a hard question because it's like, do I answer something that's really, you know, sounds cool and clever, or harmonies? Harmonies need to come back.
Okay.
More, even though we play music as lyrics.
Boys, are you
I would probably echo something like that, just like music before pitch correction and auto-tune,
yes.
when people
yes.
had to be able to use their instrument.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
and like, yeah. I don't know. Makes me sick.
A little bit more pure, maybe?
A little bit more
raw?
Pure.
Yes. A bit more raw.
Unafraid to...
Mm.
Joe is looking very confused. Hungarian.
It's weird because all
death
music's
metal.
Currently back at the same time.
Yeah.
But I would say kind of honky tonk.
Skiffle.
I like it.
It's like an answer to skiffle.
Okay, last difficult question.
Okay.
Whoa. I'm making you work, boys. I'm making you work.
Whatever.
Gig you wish you'd gone to that you didn't, or you missed out on, or you had to work.
I missed out on, this would have been about the mid-90s, I'm gonna date myself a bit. Both Beastie Boys and Rage Against the Machine came to town and I missed them both.
Ah, loser. I had tickets for Nirvana, the last Nirvana.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and then he...
That was going to be my vote. That's...
Then he disappeared.
Wow.
from the stage.
I've got a good almost seen Nirvana story. Nirvana, because I grew up in Calgary in Canada, and... when all the Seattle bands would first leave Seattle, one of the first places they toured to was Calgary. And Nirvana played a basement rock club that's about the size of the room we're in, which is like the size of probably the lounge room of listening to this. And there was 10 people there, and it was between Bleach and Nevermind, and they played all of Nevermind, and there was 10 people there, and like 200 people, no, 2,000 people now claim they were there, but there was actually 10 people there.
No way.
And I missed out on it.
Anyways. Yeah, that's so cool.
Joe, gig, where should have been to? Derek's on the tip of your tongue. Come on, we're getting radio silence here.
You can do it, man.
You can do it.
Dude, Neil Young live in Massey Hall. Ooh. Oh, was it 71?
Yeah.
That would have been beautiful.
That would have been pretty good.
I mean, I'm really glad they recorded that.
Yeah.
Is this anyone that you missed?
Yeah.
Because you weren't alive?
Yeah, you can do.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, Scott's changing his mind now. You've had your turn, Kennedy.
Oh.
Moving on.
Hendrix at Monterey Pop Festival.
Ooh, nice. So to round up this beautiful late night chat, which we could do late night.
You should have a turtleneck.
You can't see us right now. We're all wearing
late with jeans.
We're all in fur.
Masterpiece Theatre chairs.
What's coming up for you guys then? Bit of a rundown and the next gig that's coming up.
The next gig,
second of October.
Yep, and that is at
the Sherwood.
Perfect, which is on Frankton Road in Queenstown.
That is correct. We're playing with the Mighty Glass Vaults, who have just released their new CD,
their
album, or what have you released these days. And so we're really excited to play with those guys, and we're gonna play some tunes and show some visuals and
awesome. And Facebook page.
Facebook / Dear Dear Music, I think.
Okay, awesome. And is that where to find most of your information?
Yes, that would be the best place
awesome.
To find us.
Perfect. Well, boys, thank you very much. You can now carry on.
Thank you, Jane.
Let's rock.
Woo-woo!